according to his own several or his several ability. What God was saying here is one man could only reach 10 talents. Second man could only reach 4 talents. And the third man could only bring back 2 talents. Now, God did not expect the man that had the 2 talents to bring back 10, but he did expect him to bring back 4. God did not expect the man who had 1 talent to bring back 4. He expected him to bring back 2. You see, there's something here that goes to this whole thing. God, by the way, God did not expect the man that had 5 talents just to bring back the most talents. The man could have brought back 5 talents that he had and said, "Boy, I brought back more than anybody." God didn't expect him to be number one. God expected him to do what he could do. And so he said, I do not ask you to increase. It's so easy for a church that becomes the largest church in America to be satisfied with being the largest church in America. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not our goal. Our goal is to do what we can do. That's our goal. We're not trying to beat anybody. We're trying to equal our potential, what we can do. No one was expected to reach more than his potential. This is about the same thing that God gives us in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, when he says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." Now, what he's saying, whatever you have to do, do it to your potential. That's what he's saying. He didn't say do it to somebody else's might. He said do it with your might. Do it to your potential. Does your hand find a Sunday school class to teach? Then do it with all your potential. You may not have the biggest class in the church, but you can have as big a class as you can have. That's all God expects you to do. You have a bus route. God doesn't expect you to have... He may or may not expect you to have the biggest bus route, but your job is not to beat somebody else. Your job is to do all that you can do. Do it with all thy might, he said. That's what was said of that widow who gave her 2 mites to Jesus. A little girl one time came to church and she put her gloves in the collection plate. And her mother said, "Honey, why did you put your gloves in the collection plate?" She said, "Because I wanted to give what the widow gave. She gave her 2 mites to Jesus, and I'm giving my 2 gloves to Jesus also." And that was a funny one. But again, may I say, you folks who are visitors don't know this, but at First Baptist Church, you don't laugh when you think it's funny. You laugh when you think I think it's funny. Let me tell you the one about the little girl that put her 2 gloves in the collection plate. Her mother said, "Why did you do it?" And she said, "The widow gave her 2 mites, and so I gave mine." Now we can proceed according to normalcy. But there's something said about that lady that gave her 2 mites, that is, mites, to Jesus. The Bible says, Jesus said, "She hath done what she could." Didn't say she'd just done what Peter could do. Didn't say she's done what Paul could do. Didn't say she's done what John the Baptist could do. It says she's done what she could do. And that's all God expects of you, but God does expect that much of you. God does not expect you to give more than others. God expects you to give all that you're supposed to give. He expects you to reach your full potential. And someday when you stand before God, God's not going to say, "Well done because you did more than your neighbor," or "Well done because you had the biggest bus route," or "a big bus route," or "a big Sunday school class," or "you won so many souls." God's going to say, "Did you do what you could?" He gave you according to your several ability. Now, for example, I stand before God and Brother Bordway stands before God, God's not going to expect me to out-sing Brother Bordway. He's going to expect me to sing the best I can. And you won't believe it, but that's exactly what I do, the best I can. And my mother enjoyed it an awful lot, and I enjoy it too. But I'm saying that God expects me, Jack Hiles, to do all that I can do. I am to reach my potential according to my own ability that God has given me. In a few days, the National Collegiate Athletic Association will crown the champion of the Division I universities. Only one will be crowned. But when Jesus crowns us at the judgment seat, everybody can be crowned. Because you're not supposed to be number one. You're supposed to be all that you can be. That's what Paul meant in Romans chapter 1, verse 15, when he said, "As much as in me is." I am ready to preach the gospel as much as in me is. Now, it's not my job to out-preach Dr. Tom Malone. It's not my job to out-preach Dr. Curtis Hudson. It's not my job to out-preach Dr. Joe Boyd. It's not my job to out-preach Dr. John Rice alive, to out-preach him. It is my job to preach as best I can every time I preach and to reach my own potential every time I preach. And that's your job. And God's going to hold you accountable for how near you did to your potential. Would you like to know how right with God you are? Would you like to know a good criterion by which to base your rightness with God? You are just as right with God as you are near to what you can be. Compare what you are to what you can be. Hear me now. Compare what you are to what you can be. When you get before God, God's not going to say, hey, what did you do? Oh, Lord, I was a member of the First Baptist Church of Hammond. We had 5,099 people saved in one Sunday. God's going to say, did you do your best that Sunday? I'm not concerned about what church you had your membership in. I'm concerned about what church you had your perspiration in. God's going to say, what did you do? Compare what you are to what you can be. Compare what you do to what you could do. And God said, that's the way I'm going to judge it. One of the greatest lessons I ever learned in my life was about this subject. At the age of 29, I was called upon by Dr. John Rice to preach at Sword of the Lord Convention at Lake Louise, Georgia, Toccoa Falls Bible Conference Crown. The speaker before me was a fellow who was pretty well known. His name was R.G. Lee. He preached the most famous sermon of our generation, Payday Someday, and then they introduced me. I got up and looked at my sermon outline. If you ever saw a sermon outline that needed a B-12 shot, it was my sermon entitled The Autopsy of a Dead Church. It is not one of the classics in pulpit history. But I was following Dr. Lee. Now, but when Dr. Lee preached that great sermon, and he preached it as well as I've ever heard him preach it, he preached that great sermon, then we had a 15-minute intermission. So I went down to the intermission by the lake. I went down to jump in, is why I went. Because I had to preach next. But I went down by the lake, and I sat there, and I said, I don't know what in the world to do. I mean, there's that old man been preaching all these years and preached that sermon over 1,100 times, and now little Jackie Boy Hiles, 29 years old, never preached in a sword conference before, and supposed to follow Payday Someday. And God spoke to my heart, and God said to me something like this. No one needs you tonight to out-preach R.G. Lee. No one needs you tonight to preach better than R.G. Lee. But somebody up there waiting right now needs you to preach the best you can. And somebody there needs your best more than they need R.G. Lee's best. There's somebody here tonight, God said, that needs what you have to say. There's somebody here that you could reach that R.G. Lee couldn't reach. And I went back and I said, dear God, I cannot preach like R.G. Lee. Never could, never can, never will. But I tell you what I can do. I can give it my best. My best. And I gave it my best. And that night launched me across America as a nationally known preacher. Not because I tried to outpreach anybody. I couldn't have done it. But bless God, I can give all I have. That's what God expects of you. God does not expect you to be a Jack Hiles. God does not expect you to be a John Colston. God does not expect you to be better than Jeff Owens. God expects you to be the best you that you can be. Your potential is your own competitor. Never will forget it. I said, dear God, there must be somebody there that needs you. R.G. Lee couldn't reach. Never forget it. An old preacher that night. He must have been 63 and a half. An old, real old preacher that night. He came to me after service and said, could I follow you around? I've been preaching, he said, many, many years. And I said, sure. He followed me around all week long. He didn't even get R.G. Lee to sign his Bible. But he followed me around all week long. Very knowledgeable fellow. And, breakfast table. He ate at the table right next to me. At lunch, he ate at the table right next to me. He didn't bother me. He just followed me to see what I was going to do and how I did things. The last night I was there, he walked up and said, Brother Hiles, he said, I'm a preacher. Been preaching for years. But he said, something you said in your sermon the first night let me know that I was not saved. He said, Brother Hiles, would you lead me to Jesus Christ? And I went down beside the lake, same place where I'd knelt and prayed before I preached, and said, God, somebody here needs me that R.G. Lee cannot reach. And that old preacher got born again, walked the aisle, and professed his faith in Christ. What I'm trying to say is, R.G. Lee couldn't reach him. He did, probably, if there's 1,000 folks there, probably 999 of them, he did a better job of reaching than I did. But bless your little pea-picking heart, there's one guy needed Jack Hiles. There's one guy R.G. Lee couldn't reach that Jack Hiles could reach. And there's somebody that you can reach that Jack Hiles can't reach. And there's somebody you can reach that Curtis Hudson can't reach. And there's somebody you can reach that Ray Young can't reach. And there's somebody... Why? Because God does not expect you to outdo anybody. God expects you to be all that He made you to be. Now, there's several lessons I learned that night I want to share with you. The first place I learned this. I am not in competition with what someone else is. I am in competition with what I can be. Sometimes, see, I've been preaching across America with great preachers all these years. I shared the pulpit hundreds of times with Dr. Bob Jones Sr. I mean the old man himself. I preached many hundreds and thousands of times with Dr. John R. Rice, Dr. Bill Rice hundreds of times, and Dr. G.B. Vick numbers of times. I've shared the pulpit with the great men of the past and the present. Now, sometimes when I finish preaching, when I preach with somebody else on the platform or program, sometimes when I finish preaching, I know I was out-preached. No doubt about it. But I feel great. Because I wasn't there to out-preach. Listen to me now. I wasn't there to out-preach anybody. I was there to do my best. And if I get out-preached, okay. You know who I like? I don't like his vocabulary, but I like Bobby Knight, basketball coach, University of Indiana. I like him because he talks about God so much. But anyway, he mentions God more than anybody I know. But anyway, Bobby Knight has a philosophy. I have heard this of him. Never met him. Never seen the team play. Never met Bobby Knight. But anyway, they say that Bobby Knight sometimes will lose and go off the court pleased. And sometimes he'll win and go off the court upset. Because they say about Bobby Knight, he is not trying to beat anybody. He is trying to get his team to play up to their potential. He's saying that this team may not be a national championship team. It may not be a Big Ten championship team. But I'm not trying to win a championship. I'm trying to mold this team and train this team so this team will be the best team that this team can be. Aren't you glad God's that way? Aren't you glad when you stand before God, if a giant preacher stands up and says, God says, you've done thus and so. Aren't you glad that the little widow that's given all to you, when Mrs. Bartell stands before God at the judgment seat, I'll guarantee you she'll stand beside the Billy Sundays and the Dwight Moody's and the R.A. Torres and the Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Why? Because she did everything she could do. And that's all God expects of you, but God does expect that of you. I'm not in competition with what somebody else is. I'm in competition with what I can be. Number two, I learned this. My goal is not to be what someone else is, but what I can be. I mean this when I say this. I am not a great preacher. But I do not remember the time. I do not remember the time that I preached when I didn't give my best. You hear me across the country preaching some little church with 150 people some night, and I'll guarantee you, if you've heard that sermon anywhere else, I'll give you the same vigor and the same enthusiasm and the same zeal and the same prayer and the same effort that I'll give it if I preach that same sermon at a big convention somewhere. Why? Because I'm supposed to do my best. Okay, where it is, I'm to give my best. I don't recall the time. I don't remember the time. And I walked behind the pulpit representing God. And I'm always conscious of that. I am God's representative. Jesus could not be here this morning. He's busy interceding for me. And I am taking His place. I am his substitute. I am my substitute's substitute, and I'm taking his place. And I'm standing right now in the very place where Jesus would stand if he were here, but he couldn't be here, so I was supposed to do what he would do. Let me tell you something. I'm going to give it all I've got. My goal is not to be what someone else is. I don't want to be a Charles Spurgeon. I don't want to be a Frank Norris. I don't want to be a John Rice. I want to be the best Jack Hiles I can be. Pastor School. I felt real good Friday night. Now, I didn't do my best I've ever done this week because I've been sick. My voice on Friday was about gone. But every time I stood to speak, I gave it all. Gave it all. I mean, when I stood to speak on Thursday night, I didn't know if I'd get through or not. But I said to God in my study on my face, I said, "Dear God, I'm going to preach tonight if I have to whisper the whole sermon. I'm going to give it all I've got." And I didn't feel good after the pastor's school was over because I thought I'd done the best I'd ever done. That's not the issue. I'm not trying to beat last year. I'm not trying to beat the fellows that spoke the night before. I'm trying to do today the best I can with what I have. And during pastor school, I did the best I could with what I had, and I felt good about it. Ladies and gentlemen, whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with your might. God doesn't care how talented you are. It's what you do with what talent you have. God doesn't concern how eloquent you are. It's what you do with what you have. My goal is not to be what someone else is, but what I can be. The third lesson I learned, not only I'm not in competition with someone else, I'm in competition with what I can be. And my goal in life is not to be someone else, but to be what I can be. But number three, I must not compete with results. I must compete with my potential. Preacher friend, if you cannot lead a church someday to have 5,099 saved in one day, you just lead a church to have as many saved in one day as you can have people saved in one day. You young Hiles Anderson College preachers, don't you go out of here trying to be a Jack Hiles. Some of you are going to go to some church someday out in Waxahachie, Texas, or Possum Trot, New Mexico, and you're going to be averaging 25 in Sunday school and say, "Bless God, 2 months from today, we're going to have 5,099 saved and be the third church in history to ever done." No, you're not either. You may not have 5,099 saved in your whole ministry, but let me tell you what you can do. You can be your best. Brother, when God passes out the championship trophy, it's not going to pass out to the one that did the most. The same trophy will be passed out to every single person that reaches his potential and does what he can do. You check in the 25th chapter of Matthew. You'll find that the same words were said to the man who was given 2 talents and brought back 4, as were said to the man who was given 5 talents and brought back 10. God's not going to say to this church someday, "Did you reach Chicago better than Dwight Moody's church did?" God's not going to say, "Did this church reach Chicago better than H.A. Ironsides did?" God's not going to say, "Did this church reach Chicago better than Paul Rader did?" God's going to say, "Did First Baptist Church of Hammond do her best?" By the grace of God, if you'll help me, we'll do our best. We stand before God and give an account for this generation. If we can look at Jesus and hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. You've done the best you can. You've given it your all. That's all I ask. I don't ask to be another anything except to be the best I can be." Years ago, a ship sank off the Boston Harbor. Many, many people were killed. A young man on the shore saw the ship sinking. He stripped off his coat and swam out to the ship. Got a person and swam with him and saved his life and took him to shore. As soon as he got that person on shore breathing okay, he took off again, went out on the ship. He swam back with a second person whose life he'd saved. And and then the third, and then the fourth. That young man had brought 17 people back from the ship and saved them from drowning. And as he was there himself, almost dying, just panting for breath, if the ship had gone down and somebody said, no need to go back, everybody's lost except those who had been brought to shore. The young man looked up and said, sir, did I do my best? Did I do my best? When I faced the Savior, I wanted to just ask Him, did I do the best I could? I couldn't preach like some, did I preach as best I could? I couldn't pastor like some, did I pastor the best I could? I couldn't teach like some, did I teach the best I could? There's a fourth thing I learned, and that is to be number one is not a worthy goal. Two things about that, listen carefully. Number one, that could limit me. If my goal is to be number one, that could limit me. Because about 1974, First Baptist Church of Hammond was declared, maybe earlier than that, 70. I know I saw the picture the other day, and I weighed about 170 pounds. Thank God I grew to be a man since then. Anything I hate is you little skinny fellas. My mama used to say to me when I was skinny like that, she'd say, son, I want you to fleshen up. Fleshen up. I did it, mama. She's so proud of me today. She's going to get prouder and prouder of me with the passing of the days. But about 1970 or so, First Baptist Church of Hammond, we only had this building right here, wall here, this half, standing about right here. Dr. Elmer Towns presented to me a plaque on behalf of the Christian Life magazine as having the largest Sunday school in the world. That's never been my goal. Never has been my goal. I just want to have the biggest we can have. Wouldn't it be terrible if we said, okay, we made it now? But the other day, Brother Mitzke handed me the Christianity Today magazine. I don't take it, of course, but he doesn't either. Somebody gave it to him, but I don't take it. But anyway, handed me the Christianity Today magazine. And it's one of the famous evangelical magazines in America, and they had the 10 largest, they call them mega churches in America. And First Baptist Church of Hammond is still light, head and shoulders above the second place church as far as Sunday school is concerned. Oh, you say, for the highs, you're satisfied. Oh, no. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I'm not trying to beat anybody but myself. But bless God, I'm trying to be the best me that I can be. Long time ago, we baptized more conversions walking the aisles of First Baptist Church of Hammond than anybody. My goal never has been to baptize more converts than anybody else does. My goal is to baptize as many converts and win as many folks to Christ as we can. You say, Brother Howell, are we ever going to beat that 5,099? How about next month? But anyway, God lets me live long enough, we'll beat it. I bet you a quarter. That's wrong, isn't it? I bet you a dime. I bet you that one of these days we could have one more than we had last week. Yeah. You say, preacher, have we got to go through that again? No, something harder next time. Because our potential will be bigger. I'm no Wendell Evans. I'm not as smart as intellectual as he is. I haven't got the brain he's got. I don't want it. I might be like him. But I am to learn all my brain can learn. I'm no Joe Boyd. I don't have the physique like he does. But I am to do all my body can do. And that's what you're supposed to do. And you're going to face God for it if you don't. This could limit me. But there's a second danger here. And that is, this could discourage me. Maybe I can't be number one. Maybe someday some young man will come along that'll pass me like I'm standing still. And maybe one day I'll still be pastoring this church and somebody will be running 35,000 in Sunday school. We won't. What you going to do? Do the best I can. If I can't be number one, I can still be all I can be. That's all God expects me to be. I was driving right down this street one day. I learned a great lesson. I was a little hard in those days on my staff. Not mean, but a little harder than I am now on my staff. It was back in the days when I had a good staff. Men that produced. Boy, any one of you guys have a perfect right to shoot me this afternoon if you want to, as tired as you are right now. And God will not convict you for it. Not a jury in America will convict you for it. I was driving down that street with Jim Lyons. We came down to Calumet Street where the light is. Start turning right from Sibley to Calumet. Jim said, "Preacher, pull over and park for a minute. I'll tell you something." And I said, "Okay." So I pulled over there on the corner of Calumet Street and Sibley. Jim Lyons, who's now an evangelist, was my assistant pastor then. He said, "Preacher, let me tell you something." He said, "I'm not Jack Hiles. And I never could be Jack Hiles. I wish I could, but I couldn't." He said, "God did not give me as much as He's given you. But," he said, "I promise you this, I'll give you everything Jim Lyons can give you. And I hope that'll be enough." I learned something. He said, if I were you, I couldn't work for you. You couldn't have me. But I'm not you. I'm me. And God expects you to do all that Jack Hiles can do, and God expects me to do all that Jim Lyons can do. See, the reason I want to be my potential is, if I were to be number one, I don't want to be satisfied with that. And I'm not satisfied. I'm not. You said, "Brother House, aren't you satisfied now? It's at 5,099. I am not! As long as one little boy walks the streets in Chicago without the Savior, not knowing who his mom and daddy is, I'm not satisfied. As long as one teenager in the ghetto land in Chicago in this great area here is bound by dope and bound by sin, I'm not satisfied. As long as one young couple knows not the Savior and rearing their family for the devil to take them to hell, I'm not satisfied, and I will not be satisfied until I awaken His likeness. This could limit me, but it also could discourage me. I'll not be discouraged. I remember one night, I was the main speaker down in Panama City, Florida. My name was the last on the program. Everybody came to hear me. They had a little fill-in guy before me, asking the priest 20 minutes. Just get him out of the way so the big boy could get in, you know. He got up. He came unloosed. I never heard a kid preach like that in my life. He was lifted out of himself. He had those people screaming and hollering. He had them right there in the palm of his hands. And then he didn't say, "Let us pray." He just said, he lifted them all the way to the sky. Nobody knew him outside the county. His mama didn't know him well. But all of a sudden, he just got carried away. And he didn't close in prayer, give an invitation. He took those people way to the mountaintop, and while they're hanging up there, he just walked. And the moderator said, "You're on." No, I wasn't on either. I couldn't believe that little nut. I told him after it's over with, "Check the program. I was the main speaker tonight." I said, "What'd you do?" "Do what I always do. I pull for the guy that's preaching with me. Pull for it. He can out preach him. More power to him." God didn't send us there to try to preach out preach each other. We're not having a preaching contest. We're having a potential contest. That's what we're having. I'm not the greatest preacher in the world, but I try to be the greatest preacher I can be. I'm not the greatest Bible teacher in the world, but I try to be the best Bible teacher I can be. One of the great compliments of my life was paid me at a preacher's meeting a year or so ago. Pastor stood up, and there's several hundred preachers there. Said, "Dr. Hiles is our speaker." He said, I must confess to you, I know preachers that can out-preach you. I didn't feel very good. And he said, I know men that can out-teach him. But he said, I believe Jack Hiles has come nearer to reaching his potential of any man I ever met. And I couldn't even speak. I said, that's exactly what my goal is. I want to be all I can be for Jesus. I want to do all I can for him. I want to pray as best I can pray, and study as best I can study, and teach as best I can teach, and preach as best I can preach. And I have a goal, my supreme goal in life, and never forget about it. When I preach tomorrow night, I'll preach to a small crowd of people. I'm guessing 300 or 400 people. Probably as many as this section right here. But I'll give it my best. I'll give it my best. And I'll preach as I always ask God when I walk in a door to walk to a pulpit. Dear God, I pray you'd help me to preach tonight as if this were the last sermon I'll ever preach. And one day it will be. And one day I'll face him. And if he'll say to me, son, I agree with that guy. You weren't my greatest preacher down there. And you weren't my greatest leader. And you weren't my greatest teacher. You weren't my greatest pastor. But you reached your potential. You did what you could. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that everybody can win an Oscar for Jesus? Everybody can win the Super Bowl. Everybody can wear a World Series ring on his finger. Everybody can receive the crown of life if he does what he can. He gave to every man according to his several ability. Look at me. What you doing with yours? Huh? What you doing with yours? How close is what you are to what you could be? Huh? For you, your potential should be your only competitor. That is something everybody can do. Everybody can receive Christ. Since it's not earned, everybody can do that as well as anybody else can. You can get saved just like I did. You can get saved just like Dwight L. Moody did. You can get saved just like Billy Sunday did. Because all they did to get saved was realize they were a sinner and realize that sinners are lost, realize that Jesus paid the penalty for sinners and relied upon him to do it. That's all they did. That's all you have to do. You've never done it. You'll never reach your potential in life. But you reach up and say, Jesus, I take you as my Savior. Two groups of people I want to talk to just about 10 seconds here, or 30 seconds, or 40 seconds, maybe 10 minutes. Two groups of people. Number one, those who are saved. Ask yourself the question and answer it to yourself. Everybody, way back in the corner, all over the balcony, everybody, answer yourself. How near am I to what I can be? You show me what the answer is, and I'll show you to what degree you're backslidden. Second group, you can be saved. There's no age limit on salvation, no race, no social standing, no achievements, no accomplishments. Just trust. In just a moment, we're going to stand. The choir's going to sing. Those of you who've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you don't know that you'd go to heaven if you died today. I want you to leave your seat and come to the aisle that's nearest you. If you're on the lower floor, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 aisles. You can find one of them. And two short ones back here, 11 aisles. Upstairs, we have 7 sets of stairs leading down. You just pick out a stairwell anywhere. Over here, back here, here, back here, over here, here, over here. And come to the aisle down to the front of where you are. Find a set of stairs and come down the aisle. And someone will be at the end of every aisle to show you the way to go to heaven. And this could be the greatest day of your life. I hope you'll come. On the